Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The nature of life is that it is full of circumstances. Some circumstances are small and easily managed. Some greatly impact the quality of our lives, whether for better or for worse. Imagine allowing all the circumstances of your life to rule your life. If you spent all your time focusing on them, how would you be able to function from day to day, and how powerless would you feel? Each of us has triggers from past experiences, symptoms of something deeper that we may be aware of or may not be aware of, that makes us react to the circumstances of our lives in a very unique way. When we're set off, these triggers create fear, anger, and a host of other uncomfortable emotions, emotions that can block us from finding reasonable solutions to our problems, emotions that may actually make our problems worse. My special guest today, Bill Ferguson, author of the book Get Your Power Back, says that these triggers or underlying conditions are created by specific core issues. Bill says that until each core issue is identified and healed, we will be powerless in that area of our lives. We will become saboteurs of our own lives, repeating the same problems over and over. Bill wrote Get Your Power Back to help us understand how we create our lives, particularly the areas that don't work. That is what the first part of the book is about. The second part of the book is about finding and actually removing these destructive underlying conditions. So instead of creating a life of fear and upset, we can create a life of love, happiness, and opportunity. Bill Ferguson was my wonderful guest on A Fine Time for Healing in February of this year to discuss his book, How to Heal a Painful Relationship. He is the author of several best-selling books, including the two I mentioned and the book, Miracles Are Guaranteed. Bill's work has been called the penicillin of psychology. His work has been featured on Oprah and recommended by the Wall Street Journal. Bill speaks a profound yet simple truth that can change your life. I am privileged to have him back on my show today. And now let's give a warm welcome to my special guest and friend, Bill Ferguson. Good morning, Bill.
Well, hi there.
Hi.
I've been looking forward to being with you.
Yeah, we had a really good time last time, so I'm sure we will again today. It's really nice to be on the same wavelength, and I know that we are.
Yes.
You say that one of the most powerful ways we sabotage our lives is by resisting, and that when we resist, we magnify and give power to whatever we are resisting. Can you explain that?
Yes. Well, first I want to mention that there's two totally different realities. There's the reality of life, and then there's our reality. And the reality of life and our reality have absolutely nothing to do with each other. They're not even remotely connected.
Okay.
In the reality of life, things just are. What so is what so. What happened is what happened, period. That's the truth. Okay, that's the reality. Our reality consists of the thoughts, the feelings, the emotion, the points of view, the opinions, the stuff. So there's the truth, and then there's our stuff about it. And it's our stuff that shapes our actions and determines what happens in our lives. And they're not even remotely connected. What happens is that when you can flow with the truth of the way things are, you have peace of mind, you see clearly, you're creative, you're resourceful, and you look in a direction where solutions and opportunities show up. The areas of your life that work great are areas where you can flow with whatever happens. Now look at the areas of your life that don't work. Those are areas where you can't flow. Instead of putting the focus on what do I need to do based on the truth of the way things are, instead, all the focus is on fighting the truth of the way things are. And when we do that, we destroy our ability to find solutions, and we interact in a way that actually magnifies the problem.
Wow.
So that all makes sense, what I just said?
Oh, absolutely. You said it so well. Absolutely. You really did explain that. Yeah.
And when we fight the truth, we set in motion a number of very, very destructive processes. And one of them goes back to your question, and that is about, it is something that I call the law of resistance. Whatever you resist, no matter what it is, whatever you resist, the very act of resisting is going to magnify and give power to whatever you're resisting.
Okay.
So, for example, imagine on the ceiling above you four large yellow balloons. Okay, now whatever you do, don't think about them. Yeah, so notice what happens when you try not to think about them.
Right.
You get more yellow balloons. You see, and this literally the same principle applies in every area of life. It's almost like physics. Have you ever had a relationship with somebody and that person had a characteristic that you couldn't stand and you resisted that characteristic?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so notice what happens to the characteristic when you fight it. It grows, and it grows not only in your perception, but it actually physically shows up more in the world around you.
Well, that's true.
And that one last example. If I'm, let's say you and I have a relationship. If I'm resisting losing you, then I'm going to hang on to you and push you right out the door.
It happens every time, doesn't it?
But it does. It's just the nature of resisting. Literally, whatever you resist, the very act of resisting will literally magnify and give power to whatever you're resisting.
That is just so true.
In the workshops, I ask people the question, I said, how many of y'all ever had a time when there was something you resisted and you resisted it and you resisted it, and then you reached a point where you just let go and you said, oh, the heck with it. Whatever happens, happens. I'll deal with it. And pretty much everybody raises their hand. And then I ask them what happens. And the response is uniform all across the board. First thing that happens is you get your peace back. Second thing that happens is that everything looks different because the tunnel vision is gone. You see clearly. And then the third thing is that that area of life starts clearing up.
It's so true.
Life always works when we get the ego out of the way.
So why do we do this? I mean, is this just human nature?
Well, no. You notice that different people get upset at different things. Different people get upset at different things because each person has a different set of nerves that get triggered. And also notice that each person has the same type of upsets keep showing up over and over and over because the same nerves keep getting triggered. See, on the surface, we resist certain circumstances. But at a deeper level, we never resist the circumstances. We resist all the feelings and emotion that the circumstances trigger.
Because we don't want to feel it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but we don't notice, you see, that the threat is really that childhood hurt of feeling worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, failure, that sort of thing. That's the threat, not the circumstance that triggers it. But we misidentify it because we're not used to looking inside. We don't notice a nerve being triggered. The only thing we notice is the circumstance that triggers it. So then all of our focus is on how do I change that circumstance that's being perceived as a threat. So we fight, resist, hang on, and withdraw, and without realizing it, instead of getting rid of the perceived threat, we actually magnify it.
Right. Have you ever come across somebody who did not have childhood issues?
No. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. It's like you can't live in this world. Because we live in a world that's judgmental and critical.
Okay.
And we can't help but become judgmental and critical of ourselves.
Okay.
And obviously, some people have got a whole lot more suppressed hurt than others.
Right.
You know, but,
exactly.
But everybody gets it.
Okay.
You know, and the finding and the healing of this hurt, it's literally one of the most important things you can do in your life.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Did you have something else to say?
Yes. Excuse me. what I want to mention about how we lose our power and how to get your power back, and then it'd be good to talk about how do you find and heal this deeper hurt.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
So at any moment, we're totally, hopelessly at the effect of the world around us. No matter what happens around us, we're going to react. We're totally at the effect. What we don't notice is that simultaneously, the world around us is totally, hopelessly at the effect of us.
Right, true.
See, that makes you the cause.
Okay.
So at any moment, you're totally at the effect of the world around you, and you're the cause of the world around you. You're the victim of the world around you, and you are the creator of the world around you, both at the same time.
Oh, my.
You see that?
How do we get out of that?
Well, see, but we only experience ourselves as being one or the other.
Okay.
When you are at the effect, when you experience yourself as being at the effect, you're powerless. Life is on top of you. And any time you have an area of life that isn't working, you're at the effect.
Okay.
When you're at the effect, you lose your confidence, you lose your energy, you become negative, things go downhill. And if you've ever been depressed, you were deep at the effect.
Okay.
Okay, so can you relate to being at the effect?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very, very painful state. And in our culture, that's where we spend most of our time. You know, because our lives are all about the circumstances, which then naturally puts us at the effect.
Okay,
okay,
right.
Now, let's look at the opposite. Have you ever had a time when there was something that you were at the effect of, and it just nagged at you, and it nagged at you, and then you reached a point where you decided, all right, enough is enough. I'm tired of messing with this. I'm going to handle this, and I don't care what it takes to handle it, but I'm going to handle it, and I'm going to handle it now. Okay, can you think of a time when you've done that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yes. Notice the moment you did that, notice how everything shifted inside of you.
Oh, I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, and I think that once we feel that and we become cognizant of it, like, you know, like you're bringing out, once we become aware of that, then it makes it a little bit easier next time to do it, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, and also when you do that, when you make that shift, you're actually shifting from being at the effect to being at cause. And then instead of the circumstances being on top of you, you're now on top of the circumstances. The circumstances didn't change, but you're on top of them. And you
right.
get your confidence back, you get your energy back, you become very effective.
Right.
See, and that state of being at cause is actually the natural state. But there's something that we do that destroys it. There's something that we do that puts us at the effect. And what it is that throws away our power is fighting the truth of something.
And we
there
fight the truth because of fear. Right.
Pardon me?
We fight the truth because we fear it.
That's right. It strikes a nerve. So, but the circumstance comes along, and then it strikes a nerve. We perceive that circumstance as the threat. We then fight that threat. And then the moment we do that, we make it the cause, we make us the effect, we lose our power. But you see, no circumstance ever, ever, ever has power over you. Never, never, never. Because look, when you're in the experience of love, when you're present with who you are, the circumstances have no power. Circumstances only have the power that we give them, and we give them power by fighting the truth.
Right. That's so,
so
true.
So any area of life that isn't working, any relationship that isn't working, why it's not working is that our focus is on resisting instead of solutions. We're fighting the truth with something.
Right.
And,
Can we ever get rid of the fear? Why we fight the truth is because
the truth hurts.
Right. Can we ever get rid of the fear of that? I mean...
Oh, absolutely, because the hurt is never, never, never based on fact.
Okay.
The hurt is something that gets created as a child and then magnified. Give me an example. Years ago, I was in a department store, and there was a mother and daughter shopping. The little girl was about 4, and she spilled her drink, which is something 4-year-olds do. And the mother got real upset at her, started screaming at her, saying, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so stupid?" Well, how many times do you think this precious little girl is going to hear that before she believes it? And
right.
what happens if she hears it over and over and over again?
Right. She grows up thinking she's stupid.
Yeah, she can't help but believe it because she doesn't have the wisdom to know that her mother's got a problem. So
right.
she can't help but internalize it. So she creates the belief that she's stupid, and then she fights the very belief that she created, and she fights the hurt that goes with it, which then magnifies it out of proportion. And then she spends the whole rest of her life running from that hurt of stupid, doing everything she can to become smart. And if anything ever comes along and hints that she really is stupid, that circumstance will be perceived as a major threat to her survival. You know, if my mother was right about me, if I really am stupid, I might as well die. So in the face of that hurt, she's going to be threatened. She's going to operate in a state of fear, upset, and tunnel vision. And in that tunnel vision, all she can do, since she's threatened, is fight, resist, hang on, withdraw, which then will create more of the very hurt she's trying to escape. So whatever the hurt is that we run from, we will interact in a way that will create more of it forever.
Right. We have to be so careful with what we say to our children. You know, this really, I mean, this is a pet peeve of mine, really, because I know when raising my children, I thought before every word I ever said to them, how it would come out and how it would be perceived. Because I know, having gone through tons of emotional abuse as a child, I know how words can change your life.
Yes, but they really can. They really can. And it's really not so much the words as it is what we do with them.
Right.
But you know, we experience very painful losses of love. And like the little girl, the moment the little girl created the belief that she was stupid, she disconnected from who she was. Because, you know, I thought I was okay, but I guess not. I'm stupid. I can't be stupid. I got to be smart. So the moment she creates the belief that she's stupid, she loses her ability to be her.
Right.
And then we enter this world of fear, upset, and suffering.
Right.
But the thing is, great news is all this can get healed because none of it is based on fact.
Okay.
You know, it's just all stuff that got made up.
Right.
Ultimately, you know, there is no difference between worthless and the yellow balloons. It would be physically impossible for you to be worthy, worthless, good enough, not good enough, success, failure, because these things are all relative.
Right.
You know, they're relative to the standard you're using to judge, you're relative to compared to what, they're relative to all sorts of things. You know, you can search the whole world over for a good enough, and you'll never find one. And if you did find a good enough, what color would it be and how much would it weigh?
Right.
Because they're not things, they're thoughts.
Right. This is so, I mean, this applies so much to me and so much to how I got such a late start in life, because the messages that my mother gave me made me not feel like I could be a success.
Yes.
And so I really believed that I couldn't be.
Yes.
And because I believed I couldn't be, I didn't try, you know.
Yes, yes. And then compounded on that, then there'll be all that hurt of feeling like a failure. And then
mm-hmm.
any circumstance that will trigger that hurt will be a threat, so it either be too threatening to even try.
Exactly.
Or you'll do the extreme of having to be a super success, and of course, no matter what you do, it'll never be enough.
Right. So I had to get my mother out of my head. Once I got her out of my head, then I could start, you know, putting
yes.
in better dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's a step beyond that, too. See, we create the belief that we're worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, that sort of thing. And then we fight the very belief that we created, which magnifies it out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can do to get rid of worthless, not good enough, or whatever the hurt is, because everything we do to get rid of it validates it, magnifies it, and gives it more power.
Okay.
You cannot get rid of it, but what you can do is you can take away its relevance. You can be so what about it.
Right.
You can get to the place where you can say, yep, I'm a worthless failure. So what? Yep, I'm not good enough. So what? In the mm-hmm. so what, it loses power and disappears.
Okay.
See, but you can't do that intellectually. See,
right.
knowing that it's so what won't change a thing. But when you get the profound truth of it, it changes everything.
Right.
But before you can get the profound, before you can get to the so what, you have to get that it's so.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the realm of thinking, it is part of us. In the reality, it doesn't exist at all. But in our reality, in the realm of thinking, worthless is there. But so
right.
is worthy.
Okay.
See, in the
so
realm
how do
of
we
thinking,
get to
you're
that?
Worthy, you're worthless, you're smart, you're stupid, you're success, you're failure, you're everything.
Right.
But if there's any aspect of you that you're not at peace with, your life is going to be about trying to prove it's not true, which will force you to operate in a way that will then create it, which will then cause life to bring to you and put in your face the very aspects of you that you're not at peace with. But life is bringing these to us so we can make peace with them. And once we make peace with them and own them, life no longer needs to bring them to us.
Right. So how do we learn to recognize our core issues?
Well, use your upsets. See, because every time you get upset, some nerve has been triggered.
Okay.
So in looking for the hurt, keep in mind that you're not looking for the truth. You're looking for an emotion. If you look for the truth, you're going to totally miss it. Because like the little girl, you know, to say that the little girl really is stupid is nonsense.
Right. It's not true.
It's not true. It's got nothing to do with the truth, but it's got everything to do with the hurt. So don't look for the truth. Look for the emotion. Don't look and see, is it true about you? Instead, look to see if it were true, would would that be painful?
Okay.
And the more painful it would be, the more it runs your life. Because
gotcha.
Anything that triggers that pain will be perceived as a threat.
Right.
Here's
it makes
example.
So much sense.
It's really hard to argue with this once you see it.
Right.
But you can go a whole lifetime and never see it.
Well, until we listen to you.
Yes.
Or read your books.
Yes, yeah, read the books. Read the book, Get Your Power Back. It'll change your life profoundly.
Right.
So, now, if it were true that you were a coward, as in brave and coward, and if it were true that you were totally worthless, well, coward would be no big deal, would it?
No.
Yeah, that's because you don't have suppressed hurt in the area of coward.
Okay.
See, but this guy over here does. So for whatever reason, he's got all this suppressed hurt associated with coward. For him, coward is a horrible thing. So he fights coward, and then his whole life is about running from coward, trying to prove how brave he is.
Right.
He's going to constantly put himself in dangerous situations, and coward's going to be in his face all the time.
True.
But life, so life will forever bring him coward, but life does not bring you coward, because that's not your issue.
Okay.
You see, but if you were to start fighting coward, life would start bringing it to you.
Right.
So what we need to do is we need to find what are the words of not okay, worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, failure, that sort of thing. What are the words of not okay that we run from? And the best place to look to find the hurt is to look at your upsets. Now, start by looking at the upsets you had as a child. You know, go back in time to when you were a little child, the hurt you experienced as a child. Put yourself in that emotion and then ask yourself, according to the emotion, not according to the truth, but according to the emotion, what incredibly painful thing would those circumstances say about you?
Mm-hmm.
Like if your own mother treats you that way, what would that say about you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look for the words of not okay that hurt the most. And then how do you feel with the notion that down deep, that's the absolute truth about you, that those people were right about you? Not only were they right about you, but they were totally justified in treating you the way that they did because you are so worthless, not good enough, fill in the blank.
Hmm.
Notice that for most people, that would be a very painful thought.
And a lot of people walk around with those thoughts in their head, yeah.
Pardon me?
A lot of people walk around with those thoughts in their head.
Oh, absolutely.
Most people
do. About 7 billion of us. You know, and it's like we see most people get this hurt from their parents, but not everybody. But if you don't get it from your parents, you're going to get it from somewhere. You're going to get it from school. Everybody gets it.
Right.
And if we had a different set of parents, we'd just have a different set of hurt.
How true.
Everybody gets it.
Right.
But it totally runs our life. Every single area of life that doesn't work can be traced to this hurt. Because in that hurt, we're threatened. We can't see clearly. We operate in a state of fear, upset, and tunnel vision. In the face of the hurt, we cannot see what works. And since we're threatened, the focus is more on being defensive and resisting, and we're focusing in a direction where solutions and opportunity don't even exist.
Right.
So
let me ask you a question. Can I ask you
yes.
a question, Bill? What about suppressed emotion? Now, I mean, is it a matter of chipping away from the top, like excavating down, starting with what you can figure out and then excavating down? What do you do with repressed emotion?
Okay, so let's look at the nature of emotion. That's a great question. When we get upset, there's all sorts of chemical reactions that take place inside of us. These chemical reactions create a very negative energy. This negative energy needs to be purged. If it doesn't get purged, it turns into suppressed emotion. Suppressed emotion is very, very destructive. The more suppressed emotion you got, the more you're going to be threatened by life, the more you're going to act destructively, which is going to create more hurt, which is going to cause the suppressed emotion to grow and grow and grow. And that's the normal course of events. This emotion just gets bigger and bigger. Also, there's a direct link between suppressed emotion and very serious physical problems.
Okay.
Cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, like on and on and on.
Okay.
So very important to get this suppressed emotion out of you. And the body automatically wants to purge it. Okay. We were, as a human being, we were created with the ability to always be pure inside, and we were created with the ability to restore our inner peace within moments, no matter what the circumstance is.
Okay.
And the best way to see how that works is to look at little kids. Little kids are masters at releasing negative emotion. And then what they do is they cry and they cry, and when they get through crying, then the hurt's all gone.
And then they get up and play.
And the thing that little kids do that's so powerful that we don't notice is that little kids feel their hurt willingly. Little kids are totally willing to feel the emotion. And it's in feeling it willingly that allows the emotion to come, run its course, and go. It's like the yellow balloons. If you let the yellow balloons be there, they run their course and disappear. You fight them, you magnify them. It's the exact same thing with hurt.
So how do we get in touch with these deep set emotions?
Well, there's a couple of parts of the healing process. You know, one of them is just the willingness to feel the hurt.
Okay.
See, feeling the hurt does not equal healing. Crying does not equal healing. It's how we feel the hurt determines whether it goes or it stays. And there's basically two different ways to feel the hurt. You can either feel it at cause or at the effect. You can either feel it as a victim of the circumstance, or you can feel it deliberately, purposefully, because you want to, because you want to reach in and grab it and pull it out. When
okay.
you feel... And in our culture, almost all the time when we feel the hurt, we feel the hurt at the effect as a victim of the circumstance.
Okay.
But when you do that, a person can cry hours a day for months and have no healing. But if you take the exact same hurt and feel it deliberately, purposely, because you choose to, because you want to reach in and grab it and pull it out, you can have a major healing in moments.
Wow.
So part of the key of healing is the willingness to feel it. And that willingness to feel the hurt is probably the single most important quality in a great life. Because the more you can feel, the more you're willing to feel the hurt, the more you're able to flow with life, and the more you're able to create a life of love.
Right. Why are we so afraid to feel the hurt?
Well, because we suppress this emotion, this hurt. See, this emotion is always coming up to be purged. Every time you get upset, what an upset is, a circumstance has come along, triggered suppressed emotion, and it triggers it so they can come to the surface and be purged. That's what's happening.
Okay.
In our culture, we relate to it in a very different way. It's like, oh, the circumstances are horrible, he's doing it to me, or something like that. But what's really happening is this emotion is being triggered and brought to the surface. Well, the natural process to let it come, let it go, let it come, let it go. But what we're taught is we're taught to destroy the natural healing process. You want to cry about something? I'll give you something to cry about.
Mm.
We're taught to suppress it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we suppress it, the hurt turns into pain. And then not only are we taught that it's not okay to feel the hurt, but now it's too scary to feel it.
Okay.
Because if I really am worthless, I'm going to die.
Wow.
So the emotion itself is the threat. Now, in reality, it's never a threat. It's just thoughts and feelings. But subconsciously, it is a major threat. So to heal it, you got to do the opposite of what gives it power. See, first thing, you got to find it. First step in healing, you got to identify what the hurt is. And you can do that by looking at your upsets. Because every time you get upset, every single time you get upset, some nerve has been triggered. So in the upset, go to the hurt that's under the upset and then ask yourself, according to the hurt, what does that circumstance say about me? You know, make a list of all your major upsets and do that with every one of your upsets. And then look at the hurt that's underneath all the upsets. And when you do that, you'll see that there's a theme that keeps showing up over and over and over and over and over again. And that's the hurt that runs our life. So make a list of your upsets. Look at the hurt that's underneath each upset. Make a list of all your fears. If your fears came true, what is the emotion you'd have to feel? What would those circumstances say about you?
Okay.
And then also there's a website that I have. It's masteryoflife.com. And then there's some articles on there, and one of them talks about this childhood hurt, and it gives you a list of places to look so you can find it.
Okay.
And it, you know, talks more about what it is and how to heal it. But the first thing is you got to find it.
You got to find it, right. And
you got to find it. And remember, you're not looking for the truth. You're looking for an emotion. You're looking for the words of not okay that hurt the most.
Okay. All right. We, gosh, it's already, it's already like 35 minutes into the show. Anyway, what's going on with you? You want to talk about your books or anything that's going on with you?
Well, one thing I've done that's exciting, I just created a brand new site on relationships.
Oh, that's good.
You know, we've had the masteryofrelationships.com, and now we had masteryoflife.com. Now we have masteryofrelationships.com.
Oh, cool.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, and then and also, see, one thing I've discovered is that there's a step-by-step process for having life work, and it's like a steps. It's like steps for transformation. You go down these steps, you can't help but have an incredible life. You know, it is possible to create a life more wonderful than we even have the ability to imagine. It's just in essence. It's who we are. It's the natural state, but we've so disconnected from it. Well, anyway, there's a step-by-step process for how to do that. And one of the things that I've done real recently was I created a video course that walks people through the whole steps, all the steps. And that's exciting. I've been working on that for a long time. So
what is that website?
Well, it's on both of them. It's on the masteryoflife.com and the masteryofrelationships.com.
Okay.
There's a section on there called video course. And the first 10 videos are free. And if you did nothing but watch those 10 videos, it'll change your life.
Oh, that's great. Okay. And then what happens
to the
10?
We got a lot of free stuff. Another thing, I have a e-course, a free e-course that also walks people through the steps. And you get a lesson a week, and it actually goes for 35 weeks. It's a very, very, very powerful, and it doesn't cost anything. And that's on the website also.
You're doing this really because you care. I mean,
it's my passion.
Your heart is so in this.
Yes, it's like my job is to get this information out in the world, because when people can see this, it makes a profound difference in their lives.
Right.
And it's just
right.
Little things. It's just like just a little tiny awareness of can change your life. It's like, oh, I never noticed. But you see,
exactly.
when I talk about these things, people really get it. But the reason they get it is because who they are already knows. See,
well,
that's why it resonates with us, is because we already know it. We've just forgotten.
We've forgotten, Bill, but I mean, to give credit to you, it is the way that you explain it. It makes it so easy to understand, because we hear this. We hear these kind of things, not put together the way that you've put it together, but we hear these things, and it doesn't resonate the same as when you say it.
Yes. It's like we hear little bits here and bits there, but it's like when you see how it all fits together, that's where it really changes your life.
Right. Right. And you have done that through your books and through your speaking engagements, and you're really, really out there helping people. And Lord knows we need it.
Yeah, I used to be a divorce attorney. That's where I got my start. And this is so much more fun.
I'll bet. This is all positive stuff. This is positive. God. So we're kind of getting to the close. I know we could talk all day.
Well, one thing I just wanted to mention real quick is that if you the book I wrote, Get Your Power Back, that talks about these deeper issues. I call them core issues. And it talks about how they work. It talks about how they sabotage our lives. And it shows you how to heal them. And it actually walks you through the healing process.
I know one of your books has the list of core issues. Which book is that?
Yeah, that's the Get Your Power Back.
Okay, it has a list so people can look at that and maybe things will click.
Yes, and also the list is also on the websites, too.
Okay.
So that section on the childhood hurt that sabotages our lives.
Okay. Right, so if you know for those who are listening, if you can't figure out what your core issues are, you can look at the list and maybe it'll trigger something that will help you.
I do individual work with people.
Okay.
You know, so sometimes it really makes a difference to have somebody, you know, walk you through it.
Right, and I know that you offer your phone number actually in your books and say, you know, if you need help, call me.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Because it's all about getting this information out in the world.
Right. You're doing it for the right reason, which is why it's coming across so beautifully and so full of love. Well, I have to say goodbye. I'm so sorry. We'll talk again. But I want to thank you again so much for coming back and inspiring us and helping us heal. We really need this. And gosh, if the people around us would grasp this, think about how much easier it would be on each of us to not have to deal with so much around us. So the more people that get it, the easier
hurt,
life gets.
All destructive hurt. I mean, all destructive behavior is based on hurt. You get rid of the hurt, nothing's left but love.
Right. Right, and it'd be nice to have those kind of people in our world, too, you know, around us.
Yes,
the same kind of
sure.
people to make it a little easier so we don't have to do so much work when these people are around of letting it, you know, trying to let it go. So anyway, well, thank you again, and we'll talk. I know we will.
Good.
So thanks.
Well,
have
thank
a
you,
wonderful
Randy.
Day. Okay.
Well, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. So our time is up for today, but that was a wonderful show. If you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. My website is also randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE. Randy is RANDI, not YI. Stop by my website and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my show, so you can leave comments for me there as well. If you would like to speak to me privately and confidentially about any issues that are concerning you, go to my website, clarity.fm/randy-g-fine. That's C-L-A-R-I-T-Y dot F as in Frank, M as in Mary, /Randy, R-A-N-D-I, -G-fine, F-I-N-E. So all my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links to my website. And if you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at